Yeah, that's right. I'm Zach Quinto.
We're not selling it to anybody, and we're not reporting it to the government.
And you're Melissa?
I am Melissa. Okay.
Melissa, your voice is so deep this morning.
Well, Zach, talk about playing a Glenn Greenwald, because the movie certainly conveys his passion for his profession and his, what he considers his calling. And at the same time, like, there is a balance of whether it's self-righteousness or his willingness to, in, at least in one scene, to sort of bully somebody into publishing something, maybe independent even of the due diligence that would need.
I mean, I think that Glenn is somebody who is fiercely committed to adversarial journalism, obviously, and has a very short fuse for and low tolerance for any level of bureaucracy or corporate hierarchy, or and I think that combined with the extraordinary circumstances of this situation and the incredible urgency, the exposure and vulnerability that he and Laura and Ewan and Ed were all in the midst of in that hotel room in Hong Kong, was a kind of perfect storm for an eruption like that. I think we have to be careful not to lay a blanket over who he is or how he operates just based on that one moment. But I do think he's passionate and incendiary in certain ways, and unwilling to back down from his point of view, which is part of what I respect about him, you know, because all of his positions are supported by his unimpeachable intelligence and information, which he backs up his positions with pretty unilaterally. So I feel like I get what you're saying in that particular scene, but I think it was less about bullying and more about you know, trying to convey the extraordinary situation that they were in.
Sure.
Did you get to meet him?
I have met him in the past. I actually met him in 2009. We were both guests on the Bill Maher show. He was a panelist and I was the mid-show guest. So we met briefly then, but that obviously was before all of this went down. I didn't get a chance to meet him in preparation for the film, unfortunately, because of scheduling and traveling and not being able to be in the same place at the same time. But for the way that Greenwald factors into this story, you know, it was really enough for me to pour myself into the you know, many articles that he's written and interviews that he's given and debates that he's engaged in, and read his book. You know, these are things that really helped me and informed me. And I think if it were a film about him, obviously I would have spent more time with him. But we were here to support Oliver's vision and help him create this world of Snowden's story. And for that, I thought all the source material and resources that I had access to was more than sufficient.
Do either of you know why Snowden picked them out specifically, as opposed to going to the New York Times or the Washington Post or any, you know, CNN, whatever? What was the reasoning?
When I hear Zach describe his understanding of Glenn Greenwald, I understand more and more why Snowden would approach him, and that is who he approached first. And Snowden would not continue a non-encrypted conversation online and was unable to do that, by my understanding, with Greenwald, and was then reached to Laura Poitras, who also had the same kinds of points of views and was trying to, you know, make things clear to people that others were obfuscating, and also, I would suspect, knew of the relationship with Greenwald that they already had from traveling in the same circles. And reached to her, and she was able to continue the encrypted conversation, and that was how the invitation was sent out.
Okay. How much interaction or experience did you have with Laura, particularly because she, in a way, like, she doesn't say too much, but that's sort of the point, I feel like, to make him feel comfortable enough to feel open at a moment when he is probably feeling very vulnerable.
I didn't think I was going to get to meet her, and I completely concur with what Zach is talking about. The film is about Edward Snowden. It's Oliver Stone's vision of that, written with the wonderful Kieran Fitzgerald. It was a great script. What you see in this amazing film is the script that they wrote, not some other formulation of it. I felt that what I needed to know about Laura was there on the page. No, she didn't talk very much. And I watched Citizen Four several times. And she appears in the film two times. She's in a reflection in a window. And she's her elbow comes in as she gets a piece of sound equipment when somebody new comes into the room. She does not like to be in front of the camera. I then, by a total chance meeting, Zach ran into her in the elevator in the Mira Hotel, and eventually we were able to get a quick 20 minutes, the fellas and I and Laura together talking, and there was a very valuable few minutes for me of getting some sense of approval from her that I would be playing her on a sort of subconscious level that matters. And I have never seen anybody listen to other people the way that Laura Poitras listens to other people. She's not in the room any longer. She's simply absorbing what's going on in the room without a camera in her hands. So that was very insightful, and that was the way Karen and Oliver had scripted her. There were very few lines. I didn't go counting lines. I knew what my part was to be the filmmaker beside one of America's greatest filmmakers.
Do either of you remember when the story broke, how much you paid attention, did you not pay attention, and how much does all this information that we now know that's going on affect your lives now, you think?
I had a really pretty, I would say, typical reaction to the news story when it broke, which was, that is really intense and probably has very little to do with me. There was a kind of arrogant complacency, I would say, that I think, imagine a lot of Americans had in this technological age that we live in. I feel like so much of this information is theoretical and abstract, and we don't really necessarily always comprehend right away how practically it affects us all. And so doing the film woke me up to that in a way that I might not have been awakened to had I not done the film. You know, when I really understood the magnitude of what was disclosed and the sweeping scale of this sort of dragnet operation and how it just plowed right through the constitutional right to privacy for, you know, tens of millions of Americans, it made me wake up and look at my own relationship to technology a little bit differently. So, I mean, I have tape over the camera on my laptop now. I reset all of my passwords, and there's no two passwords that are the same for any online service, and I have two-step verification enacted on all of my devices. You know, these are the things that we can do. I think the larger question is, does that really protect us? You know, technology is something that is endlessly complex and minute, and I think there are always ways around these firewalls, and obviously when you're dealing with the government's capacity to infiltrate them, it's a whole other level. But there's this great documentary Alex Gibney made about the sort of new frontier of cyber warfare and the Stuxnet infiltration of the nuclear power plants in Iran, and you know, it's a whole new world out there. And I think that this movie is a part of that and certainly made me aware of it.
And Melissa?
I would like Zach to answer that question because I think he has a much more important answer. I don't pay attention much to the news. I suppose I heard something about this and I probably thought to myself, so what else is new? Before I was 5 years old, it shot my president. And by they, I mean probably the U.S. government. That's what I was brought up in the climate of. And then our president was impeached because people were listening on the telephone. I've just never trusted anything. And so it was not surprising to me. I don't use a lot of whatever these things are called. It just isn't, it's not really in my wheelhouse.
Could you talk about walking away with Oliver Stone? What makes him different from other director? What did you discover?
I mean, Oliver's a director who really shaped my early understanding and appreciation for cinema and storytelling, and his films were seminal to me in my childhood, really, you know. It's hard. I think his passion for film and for storytelling is something that makes him, sets him apart from 90% of filmmakers. His intellect, I mean, he's so incredibly intelligent, you know, and has such an understanding of politics and culture and societies on so many levels, and is constantly being fueled by that exploration and that curiosity. I mean, to be at his stage of life and career and to still be so curious is a pretty remarkable thing, I feel.
There's some incriminating stuff against, like, a lot of our leaders, past and present, in this film, which, you know, some people might be going in and expecting this to be all about George W. Bush and what he did, but, you know, Obama is not really painted very well, and even there's a few things about Hillary as well, and I think there was an image of Trump in there somewhere along the way. But, I mean, the politics of this film, does that, you know, how do you feel about that in terms of how this is presented and this particular time of year right before the election?
I, again, don't know enough about politics to really answer your question, except that I find Oliver's film incredibly human and moving and not entirely political. And I think that's something that will allow a lot of Americans and people around the world, like myself, who are not informed in those ways, but go more by gut and instinct and the way it feels to us. It's a remarkable film. Yes, of course it has a point of view. Oliver Stone made the film. But it's a very generous point of view about a young man with a patriot's heart. And that's not unlike Oliver himself, who's one of the finest directors I've ever worked for in 30 years of work, in answer to your other question.
Thank you.
What to you sort of are the advantages and disadvantages of telling the story of a person where, it, in a way, it's still sort of in the middle of that story? I mean, that it's we don't have sort of the ability to have the sort of 100-yard view of, like, what happened and all the fallout. Is there a disadvantage to that, or is it all pluses to sort of look at what he's done so far?
There's something very vital about knowing that the young man we're making the film about is in exile. I mean, whether or not he'd even want to come back to the United States of America, it'd be anybody's guess, in my opinion. But that he's there in exile, not allowed to come back to his country unless he wants a retribution that is, in my opinion, undue him. There's a poignancy, yes, maybe even a hope, that that choice will be granted to him. Perhaps he could come home if he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about working with Joseph, with Gordon?
Joseph Gordon.
Yeah. I always do that when it's more than 2 minutes.
No worries. I've known Joe for a few years. I've always appreciated him and his choices as an actor. I think he's made some really incredible movies, and not always probably the movies that people told him to make, you know, but movies that he felt would really expand his creative self. I really respect his creative ambition. You know, he is endlessly motivated by bringing people together. He is a total technological optimist, which is kind of opposite of my point of view. I feel like technology is, I'm less enthused about it than he is, and so we have had some great conversations about that, and I've always appreciated his point of view and what he's done with Hit Record and how he's used it as an outreach platform to bring people in and inspire them to tell stories. I think it's incredible. And as an actor, he is a consummate professional and fully committed to honoring the character that he's playing, whether it's a real life person in this case or someone that he's creating. He's just tireless and really, really, you know, just, I just love him. I love his enthusiasm, and you know, it's great to be working with somebody who's sort of my peer and my age, and to feel that way, you know, it's inspiring.
It was some of the best time on a film. Okay, so the shooting was remarkable, being led by Oliver Stone. And then there were the dinners out in town with Joe and with Tom and with Zach, these three highly intelligent men with very different points of view They were thrilling meals that we had out as we were. Some of the best I've ever had.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Have a good day.
Okay, love.